keep your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do just thank you that we have the opportunity now to open your word. We pray that you would speak to us, challenge us, encourage us, so that we can go from here and share your love with the world. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Now, we're on the fifth of our series in the Holy Spirit, and we've been having a look at a number of different elements to the Holy Spirit. Of course, the most important being that the Holy Spirit is God himself. And we've had a look last week. You remember, if you were with us, we had a look at the fruit of the Spirit. And I suggested that rather than having 10 or 15 different varieties of fruit from the Holy Spirit, it was one fruit consisting of 9 different ingredients. And you'll remember that we divided the fruit into 3 categories of 3, saying that every Christian should have a personal growth in the Lord. That should be part of the fruit that the Spirit gives us, that we should have care and concern for those around us, and that we should be joyous and passionate about the love and the peace that the Lord God has given us. You can go and listen to that talk on the internet if you'd like to. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just produce fruit within the life of the believer. He also gives gifts to those who follow the Lord. Or should I rather say, he gives abilities to those who are performing the work that the Lord has given us. But as we start looking at these gifts, I want to have a look firstly at the influence of our society. So my first comment this morning is the influence of our society. Verses 1 to 3. Within our modern society today, exactly like it was in the city of Corinth to which Paul was writing this letter, people today and people then are looking for purpose. People are looking for authority. People are looking for fame. Just look at how the celebrities in our world today, how people will spend a fortune to go and listen to some of them. We heard stories from when One Direction, just by the way, that's a little boy band that teenage girls seem to go gaga over. People spent thousands of rand to go and listen to One Direction when they came to Joburg. Apparently the cheapest tickets were somewhere around 1,000 rand each, and they still had to get to Joburg. And many, many people spent thousands to go up for the weekend to watch and listen to this band. That's what fame does to people. People want to go and see. Look at advertising. I think it was the Lay's Chips advert. It was A.B. de Villiers sitting on a park bench eating some Lay chips. And a schoolboy runs up to him who's been playing cricket, and he says, "No way, it's A.B. Won't you give me some tips on batting?" And of course the advert goes and A.B.'s demonstrating all sorts of cricket batting shots, and the little boy's eating all A.B.'s chips while he's doing it. But you see what the world is saying to us. If you want to be somebody in this world, you need to be popular, you need to be famous, you need to have authority, you need to have purpose. And unfortunately, the same idea has come into the church. And so in the church, we think that if we have certain abilities, certain ministries, then we are better than others. And the church is influenced by the thinking of our world. And so Paul tells us here in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 1, he says, "Now about spiritual gifts." And he goes on to say, "I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, that is non-Christians, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Paul is showing us, as he was showing the Corinthians, that the influence that our society has over us should not be found within the church. And that is the influence of these mutant dumb idols, the world's fixation that the most important person in the world is me. And this is not to happen when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. For Paul says that if we have been given the insight by the Spirit, then we will not curse God, and we will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. We won't curse God by saying that the gift I have is better than the gift you have. We won't curse God by saying, my ministry is more important than your ministry. But rather we will say, Jesus is Lord in all of them. Now Paul's continues on this discussion. And so my second comment this morning, different but the same. You see, Paul continues his discussion about saying that we should not have the influence of the world, which says that some things are better than other things, in the church. And so verse 4, he says there are different kinds of gifts. Verse 5, he says there are different kinds of service. Verse 6, he says there are different kinds of working. Now Paul acknowledges great diversity within the gifts that God gives us. He acknowledges that some have the gift of teaching, and others have the gift of prophecy, and others have the gift of administration, or tongues, or healing, or whatever it might be. Paul acknowledges that each one of us has different abilities, and are able to do some things that other people are not able to do. But Paul also notes that some of these abilities are gifts. That is, that they are given to us without us deserving them. He also notes that some of these abilities are for helping us to serve the work that the Lord has given us. And he says that some of these gifts are abilities that we are given by God for the work of God in our lives. See, as we look across this congregation here this morning, just have a look across, look around, see who's there. We've got bald people, like myself. We've got grey-haired people. We've got young people. We've got old people. Some of us have grown up in different eras. Some of us are extremely wealthy, while others of us are struggling to make ends meet. Some of us are very well educated, while others of us have got a very basic education. Some of us are from this country, some of us aren't. Some of us are from a particular culture, and others are from a different culture. You see, even amongst us here this morning, we are diverse. We are different. And that is a good thing. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit says, you have each been given different gifts, according to our ability, according to our personality, we are all given different gifts. But notice something significant about this diversity that Paul speaks about in the gifts that the Lord has given. Again, verse 3. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Although there is diversity in the abilities that the Lord has given us, all these diverse gifts are from the same source. They are all from the Lord God Himself. And that's important, friends. Because we cannot therefore expect everybody else to be just like us. So if I've had this experience in my Christian life, I cannot expect every other Christian, if they want to be a real Christian, to have exactly the same experience. Because while we are all given different gifts, they are all from the same Lord. Paul is showing us that there's a large variety or abilities of gifts, but they all have the same source. See, the world says, if you want to be famous, if you want to be important, if you want to be noticed, then you need to do A, B, or C. Whereas the Bible is saying to us here, if you want to be important in God's kingdom, then whether you do A, B, C, or X, Y, and Z, it makes no difference as long as you are working for the Lord. In many senses, God wants us to give equal acknowledgement to the different gifts that He has given each one of us. David Jackman, who's written a great book on the Holy Spirit, says, wherever gifts for ministries cause division between Christians, the way they are being used is actually denying God's purposes in giving them to the church. He continues to say that we should learn to praise God for that, for the fact that God's gifts are given for the unity of the church, and not expect uniformity of experience or service. Some so-called Christian groups say that unless you, for example, speak in tongues, you are not a real Christian. Well, I think 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us you can't say that. You can't expect, because perhaps I've spoken in tongues, that everybody else must speak in tongues. Because speaking in tongues, according to the list Paul gives us here a little bit later on in chapter 12, is actually just one of a whole variety of different gifts. And all these gifts come from God, so how can we say the gift of tongues is more important or more necessary than, for example, the gift of wisdom or knowledge? You see what Paul's saying here? And you see why we can't expect others to follow in exactly the same path as us? Because we are all different, and we all have been given different gifts. Paul now moves on to speak about the actual gifts themselves. And so my third comment, while these gifts are different yet the same, he gives us some examples of spiritual gifts. Now as we get into this, it's very important to understand that this list that Paul gives us here is not a comprehensive list of gifts. Many people have tried to work through the Bible and say, here is a comprehensive list of gifts that God has given us. But I want to suggest that actually all the lists of gifts in the Bible, they all vary slightly, are an example of gifts that God gives to every Christian, an example of the variety of gifts, not a comprehensive list of gifts, which means that you or I might have a gift that is actually not mentioned in the Bible, but we are using it for the service of the Lord. So there's no gifting in the Bible that says you can use your carpentry skills in the church. But is that not a gift that God has perhaps given to me, that I may use my ability for the good of the church? Do you see what I'm saying? Spiritual gifts are not always just the list here in the Bible. There are more to it. And I think we get that idea from Paul saying here that there are different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of work. Now, Paul starts listing here a couple of examples, and I briefly just want to chat about them. I don't want to go into a big, long debate about some of these gifts. But if you do have questions about them, won't you come chat to me afterwards or drop me a mail so that we can discuss them further. But Paul lists here initially, he starts off with two gifts, the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. Both these two gifts of wisdom and knowledge have to do, I think, not so much with knowing and having wisdom in the world and having knowledge of the world, but more in the sense of having a wisdom when it comes to understanding or perhaps the ability to apply what God's word says into our everyday lives. On Friday night, one of our teenagers was asking us and giving a couple of questions, and every answer or every question that she asked, Helen or myself was able to give her a reference to the Bible. And her comment was, wow, the Bible seems to have an answer for everything. And it was a great opportunity just to chat a little bit about the Bible. And in one sense, isn't that having wisdom to know what the Bible says so that we can communicate it or apply it to the lives of other people? It's the same with knowledge, isn't it? It's not just about knowing what the Bible says, but about understanding it so that we might, for example, know where to find an answer to a particular problem or struggle that we are facing in the world. Paul speaks about these two gifting, and perhaps we have that gifting. Some people have an amazing ability to be able to know what the Bible says and to be able to apply it to our lives. Isn't that the gift of knowledge and wisdom? But then again, not every Christian has that ability, but some do. Paul then mentions the gift of faith. But perhaps he's saying, yeah, why is faith listed in the gifts? Aren't we all supposed to have faith as Christians? Isn't faith the very means by which we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? So what is Paul talking about here? Well, I think Paul is talking about an over and above normal amount of faith. Yes, we need to have faith in trusting that what Jesus has said he will do. But just think about some people who have gone through a mass of struggles and trials in their lives. We've been praying for persecuted Christians around the world. I wonder how many of them have been given the extra gift of faith to be able to work through and to withstand the immense pressures that they are facing, that they otherwise would not be able to stand up to. Just think, for example, in the Bible of Noah. Did Noah not have faith and then God give him super strength faith when he started building the boat? Oh, well, of course, Noah had faith. He trusted God and started building this ark. But I think God gave him extra faith when the people started to jeer him and laugh at him because he was building a boat in the desert. But that doesn't mean that the rest of us don't have faith. But some people are given extra faith to endure their struggles. Paul then lists a whole bunch of other gifts, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, even discernment. And each of these gifts is given to some Christians and not to others. But we mustn't expect every Christian to have these abilities. Paul then mentions tongues and the ability to interpret tongues. Again, the important principle is here that not every Christian has this ability. Not every Christian can speak in tongues. Not every Christian can interpret tongues. But some do, and some don't. Of course, there's other lists of gifts in Romans and in Ephesians. So we mustn't say, oh, gee, my gift is not listed here. Well, then I can't use the ability that I have for the service of God. No, I don't think that's the case at all. If God has given us a particular ability, a particular talent, then I think the question is, are we using that ability? Are we using that talent for the work of the Lord? But I want us to notice, and I think this is the crux of the whole passage that Paul is talking about here, and this is my fourth point, given for the common good. Our society says that we need to do certain things in order to be popular or famous or important. But notice what Paul says here, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, or the outpouring of the Spirit, if you like, is given for the common good. And look at verse 11. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determined. Two very important principles that we need to take note of here when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. The first is that God gives them, verse 11. He tells us that he gives them to each one as he determined. That is, God decides who gets what gifts, what abilities. That's why we are all diverse here, because God has decided that within this church, we need these abilities. And he has given to each one of us one or some of the abilities that we need in order to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus out into the world. That means that I shouldn't be striving to try and get a particular gift that I think might be more important than another one. I'm not saying don't try and improve the ability that you've got. I'm not saying don't try and do some great work in some other area. But I'm saying it shouldn't rule our lives. Oh, gee, I'm a useless Christian. I can't do this particular gift. We shouldn't be doing that. Because God gives gifts to each person as he sees fit. I think also by implication of that, that as God gives us gifts as he sees fit, is also the option that perhaps we'll have the ability to do something today, and tomorrow we won't be able to do it. Maybe we struggle to understand the Bible or to apply the Word of God to our lives. But maybe when someone comes to speak to us about Jesus, suddenly we realize that, you know, when I answered that person, I had a huge amount of understanding about what the Bible was about. It's possible that God will give us a gift at a particular point for a particular purpose. And so we mustn't be upset if we are no longer able to do something the way we always did. Because I think God gives and takes as and when he determines. And that's important to notice, friends, because so often we put pressure on people that they have to conform to a particular pattern. But God says all the gifts are different, yet they are all from the same source. The second important principle here is that not just are gifts given to us according to God's discretion, but they are used for the common good of Christians. Verse 7 very clearly tells us that they are given for the common good. If we are using a gift that God has given us to make ourselves feel important, then we are not using God's gift in the way that it was intended. If we are using the gift that God has given us to help other Christians, if we are not using that gift to help other Christians, then it has been used in the wrong way. And that is why, friends, I think that the gift of tongues is not about me speaking to God in my own experience or as a spiritual high, perhaps, but rather me having the ability to communicate the Word of God to other people who speak a different language to me. You see, if the gifts are used for the common good, then how can speaking in tongues be about me? Surely speaking in tongues then must benefit other people. And likewise, the gift of interpretation is if there's somebody in the church who perhaps can't understand what we are saying, someone else will stand up and interpret for them what has been said. I think the gift of tongues is more about the ability to learn and to understand other languages. But friends, our gifts, no matter how mundane we might think they no matter how mundane the world might think they are, if God has given us that ability, then He has given it to us for a purpose because He wants us to use it. And so we should work for God. We should share the love of God for the common good of others. So the bottom line is not am I glorified or am I lifted up when I do a particular gift, but is Christ glorified, is Christ lifted up? As we use our gifts that God has given us, people should be noticing the Lord Jesus Christ and not us. I close with the words of David Jackman. He says, "The manifestations of the Spirit are given for the common good. Spiritual gifts are not distributed to satisfy our personal spiritual appetites or greed, much less to bolster up our self-image and pride. They are for the serving, or they are for serving the Lord by building up His body, the church. Each Christian has the responsibility before God to use whatever gifts he or she may have to increase the church's strength and to promote unity." Just look at the next section of chapter 12. What does Paul speak about there? One body, many parts. You see, the idea of spiritual gifts is that we are all part of one body in Christ. And just like our bodies have different functions, different abilities, as the finger cannot do the work of a foot, as the tongue cannot do the work of an ear, so each of us has a different ability, a different gift that is to be used for the building up of God's people. So friends, are we building up the church? Are we using our gifting that God has given us for the good of others? Or are we using them for our own personal gain? Well, let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord, we do just come before you this morning and we thank you for this great passage in Corinthians, Lord. We thank you for showing us that your word, your gifting, is not for our own good, our own glory, our own purpose, but is ultimately for your glory, for your purpose. Lord, help us to use whatever gifting and ability you have given us, so that others might hear about you, so that we might build up others within the church, and so that together we might acknowledge you. Lord, help us in your name. Amen.